Hey, it's Mike Evans. People care about three things when buying a vehicle. Number one, price. Siltahar Motors has the best prices and financing options that fit everyone's current credit and financial situation. Get zero down and 0% financing for 72 months. Number two, selection. Siltahar's five dealers in one offering Ford, Lincoln, Mazda, Volvo, and Maserati with hundreds of new and used cars, trucks, and SUVs on the lot. And number three, location. Siltahar's right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth, or view their entire selection online at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
Now back to Nick and Cecil on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
33 left. Look out. Boom. Well, if they were entertaining any thoughts at all, as Carl Mecklenburg turns in the sack, a rookie from Minnesota, if they were entertaining any thoughts of going for it on fourth down, which I guess would have been possible on fourth and six, that was erased with that sack. Fourth and very long yardage.
That's right. It is Sean Drotar with you, Nick Ferguson as well, and Nick and Cecil. And it is Legends Week presented by our friends at Siltahar Motors. And we indeed do have a Broncos legend. The one and only Carl Mecklenburg joins us. How are you doing, Carl?
I'm good. 1983, if you're still playing those plays, that is legendary. That's lifetimes ago.
it's funny that you mentioned that, because what I was thinking today, Carlo, and I, when we knew we were going to have you on, was the idea that you got selected in the 12th round. We watched in this year's draft Isaiah Simmons of Clemson get selected 8th overall because, reportedly, right, he's a defensive weapon. He could play some safety. He could play a little inside linebacker. He could play a little outside linebacker. And that was treated like it was some sort of new, exciting thing for football. Back in 1983, and for the years you played with the Broncos, you played inside linebacker, outside linebacker, defensive end, and a couple times even in the middle. So that's seven positions as far as I can tell. So I don't know if Simmons is breaking any new ground. You've done this sort of thing before.
Yeah, that was Joe Collier. Joe was on the cutting edge of anything new. We had so many different defenses. He was very meticulous about his film study, and he knew, depending on down and distance and who the opponent was and their formations and their personnel in the game, he knew where they were going to run the ball, and he wanted to put me there. And there's no better place to be as a defensive player than at the point of attack. So, he moved me around, that was awesome for me. Anyway, I mean, it was a great opportunity for me, and it really was confusing, I think, for defenses. They'd all line up at the line of scrimmage and point at me, and they're 77, and it was interesting.
Carl, over your 12-year career in the NFL, you were able to amass more than 1,000 tackles. And when I think about that being the fact that I played the safety position, you know, my shoulders just cringe at that number. How was it that you were able to maintain your body and be so durable over such a long period of time?
Well, Nick, I was hurt sometimes. I mean, that's just the nature of the game. The difference was I was a 12th round draft pick because I wasn't an unbelievable athlete. I didn't rely on athleticism to play the game. It was a mental game for me. So I've had 18 football related surgeries. I missed 5 games. I mean, I played hurt. So back then and to this day, I'm sure there are people who are capable of playing hurt. I was just, you know, a three-legged mule can still pull. A three-legged racehorse gets shot, right? There's just a difference between
Carl, looking at the way that the defense is played today, too, of course, the idea is, you know, speed everywhere, as we've seen, and athleticism everywhere. At the same time, you're running into a time in football where the brains triumph over the brawn just as often. We're talking about brilliant positioning, creative play calling, the kind of idea that you just have to be that elite athlete. It seems to be penetrating the thought process of the NFL. But I look at the game, and I think that the folks who actually can interpret the game on the fly are more valuable than they've ever been before.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, you look at the Patriots. I mean, personnel-wise, when they beat Atlanta in the Super Bowl, if I had to pick an all-star team from both those teams, and maybe two of them would have played for the Patriots. Everybody else would have played for Atlanta. It's not. It's about teamwork. It's about working together. It's about anticipating what the other team does. It's about being prepared so you can be decisive and move when it's time to move and move in the right direction. That game hasn't changed from when I was playing. It just evolves. It moves from, you know, okay, we're all going to play. When I was in the NFL, we saw the fun bunch group, where it's all the little fast wide receivers and a bunch of run and shoot, a bunch of, you know, kind of stuff like Kansas City's doing now. But then people adjust and defend that, so then they're playing smaller safeties, smaller linebackers, and then you can run at them. So then, you know, everybody starts running, and then everybody follows whoever won the Super Bowl. They copy that. It's a copycat league. So this year it's all about speed and wide receivers, offensive football is the way to go right now. When the Broncos won the Super Bowl a few years back, then everybody's like, oh, wait a second, you can win the Super Bowl with defense. Let's all draft defensive guys early. So it's a copycat league.
So let's stay right there for a second, Carl. When we look at, you know, Super Bowl 50, obviously Von Miller was the MVP of that game. And I've been listening to people over the months, and it seemed like everyone wants to dig the hole and throw the dirt on top of Von Miller, thinking that he is done. And only 8 sacks last year. But when you hear that conversation that, well, the Broncos need to move on past Von Miller, what's the first thing that comes to mind?
You know, I don't believe that. Von is a great all-around player. When you got a lead, when you got Peyton Manning throwing the ball all around the yard, you get a bunch of opportunities to rush the passer. When you have somebody else who is an unbelievable pass rusher too, that makes all the difference in the world. I got to play with Simon Fletcher. I got to play with Rulon Jones. I got to play with these guys who you had to double team or you know they're going to get to the quarterback. So. You know, they got to choose who they're going to slide towards. They got to choose who the back's going to go towards, and they're going to chip. When it's just Vaughn, that's not the way you know it is. And last year, when Chubb got hurt, you know there wasn't a whole lot of other options for pass rushers. So they were doubling Vaughn, they were rolling away from Vaughn, they were chipping Vaughn, and you know that's he's doing his job. He's containing the quarterback, but it's pretty hard to get to the quarterback in that situation. Adding the defensive tackle they brought in and getting Chubb back will make a difference.
Carl, between the span of 1985 and 1989, and that was, of course, one of the seasons you talked about where you missed some games, only in that 88 season where you missed games did you not make the Pro Bowl. You made it 4 years. The Broncos went to 3 Super Bowls in that span of time. And, of course, because of the losses, it feels like that team's been glossed over. What are your memories of how phenomenal that era of Denver Broncos football was?
Oh, it was a great era. It was all kinds of fun. I mean, so many close games, so many last-minute comebacks, so many kind of nail biters. We were a strong defense, and Elway, you know, had some magic. You know, things would happen for that offense when we needed it to. But it was a defensive team. It was Dan Reeves style football. You know, 3 yards in a cloud of dust, and hand the ball off to Sammy Winder up the middle over and over. But you know, come up with a turnover, come up with a blocked field goal, come up with something, or we get down to 2 minutes and we're still in striking range, and that game's ours.
Carl, when you look back on your career, there were several coaches that you came across. Is there one guy in particular who made a big or huge, you know, decision or influence your life in a certain way?
Yeah, well, I already talked about Joe Collier a little bit. Joe is the guy. Joe Merle Moore was the linebacker coach, and Stan Jones was the defensive line coach. And those three got together, and they're the ones who moved me from defensive line to linebacker. And I'd never played linebacker in my life before, and I didn't know whether I was capable of it or not. But they saw something in me that nobody else had seen. They moved me to linebacker. Merle taught me how to play the position. My first year there, I made the Pro Bowl as an all-pro linebacker. I mean, it was a huge move for me. I was a 240-pound defensive lineman. They don't last in the NFL, wow. Right? Especially at inside. I was a nose guard when they drafted me. That's why I was a 12th-round draft pick. I played defensive tackle at the University of Minnesota at 240. But my junior year there, I led the Big Ten in sacks, tied with Andre Tippett. My senior year there, we lost so much, nobody threw the ball against us, so I never got to rush the passer. But I led the team in tackles from defensive tackle and didn't have any missed tackles at all. And if I got my hands on you, you're going down, and Joe saw that and moved me inside linebacker, and then the game started happening where they moved me outside, inside, up, down. I mean, all seven front positions sometimes in one game. It was amazing, and it was not just me, it was the whole team, because every time I had to move, somebody else had to move. So everybody on that team had to be smart enough up front, on that team, had to be smart enough to know at least two different positions. And you don't find that in the NFL very often, but it was a smart group of guys. We had 120 different defenses, each with adjustments off of them at one point. I mean, it was crazy how many different things we were doing. And it was all off of Joe. Joe was a mad scientist, a mastermind. Right? He had us going all over the place. So to answer your question, Joe Collier would be the guy. I mean, an amazing football mind and a chess master with the defensive players.
Carl, I've made this argument for a decade here in town, and I'll still stand behind it, and I'll tell you, and I presume you know. And so if you had played for the Chicago Bears or the New York Giants, you would be in the Hall of Fame by now. And that's just the simple fact. I will absolutely stand behind that. The fact that you're not, it has to do with the fact you were a Denver Bronco in the 80s. The market was smaller. We had a chance to actually talk to Simon Fletcher about this last night. How much does that bother you?
Well, I see guys going in all the time that I played against that I felt like I handled pretty well. It's like, well, it bothers me. My son came back from college. He's working as an intern for me. He just graduated from college, and we were down in the basement, and there's a Legends of the Gridiron cup down there. It was a bunch of guys during my era who were dressed up in Halloween costumes. It was an ad for Diet Coke, and there's Jacob Green on there. There's Junior Seau on there. There's Howie Long on there. There's Derek Thomas on there, and there's me on there, and I'm the only one not in the Hall of Fame. Like, what the heck? Shouldn't be that way.
Carl, you were drafted in the 12th round, and we know every player that comes out of college, they definitely want to feel as though someone is in need of their services. So when you look at guys who are drafted beyond the 4th round or guys who are free agents, what would be your message to them to try to help them keep their football dreams alive?
You know, Nick, it's a different game than college. It really is. This game, the NFL, you have to be a smart football player. It's yes, you have to be an athlete. But you know, and I know, every year there's unbelievable athletes that come to the NFL who can't make the jump mentally. In college, you put in a system at the start of the year, and that's your system. It doesn't matter who you're playing against. That's what you do. In the NFL, every week, you got a whole different set of assignments, a whole different set of things you're doing. And if you can't make that mental adjustment, they have no use for you, regardless of bigger, faster, strong you are. If you don't know where you're going, you're not going to get there, and you're not going to play very long.
He is Carl Mecklenburg, the Broncos Ring of Famer, should be Hall of Famer, and a widely renowned speaker in town. Make sure you follow him at Carl Mecklenburg on Twitter and check out everything that he is up to as well. Carl, so terrific to talk to you. Thanks so much for the time tonight.
Sure. Thank you, Sean. Take care now.
Thank you very much. Terrific to hear from Carl Mecklenburg. Out of the Broncos finally getting caught up to an extent into the Hall of Fame. I said it to him. He talked about being annoyed by it. He should be annoyed by it. I completely stand by that argument that the 80s Broncos and the 70s Broncos, Randy Gratishar and Carl Mecklenburg in particular, are two guys that absolutely belong in the Hall of Fame, and probably with Louis Wright. But the Broncos at the time, in the market size and the fact that in the 80s, especially, they were losing Super Bowls, I think really got these guys behind the eight ball when it came to the Hall of Fame, and it's a travesty.
Well, Sean, that shouldn't matter. The only thing that should matter is the level of production on the field. I mean, you mentioned a couple of guys there, and I'll throw my former teammate Rod Smith into that mix as well. If the Pittsburgh Steelers, right, can have as many guys in the Hall of Fame as they do, looking back at the steel curtain, even looking at now, why is it that there's this kind of bias against the Denver Broncos? To me, if you were a superior team, and whether you won those Super Bowls or not, and you had players who contributed, you know, to those teams, and Carl Mecklenburg was one of those individuals, why not put them in their rightful spot? And that rightful spot is in Canton, Ohio.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they lost the Super Bowls. I get that. But how many teams have gone to 3 in 4 years?
Not many.
Not many.
That number's really low.
Yeah, that's a big deal. And yeah, okay, one time you got beat by Washington and Timmy Smith and Doug Williams, and I get that. But, you know, the other time you got beaten by the Niners at their peak. What are you going to do about that? You know, that's the way it goes sometimes. And it's great to hear from Carl about that. And that's something that I've really been banging the drum about for a long time because, again, this is a guy that came from the 12th round. That round doesn't even exist anymore. We don't even get close to the 12th round. It's 7, and we're out. And it shows, example, your guy that were that was undrafted. Philip Lindsay, as we know, was undrafted. Chris Harris Jr., undrafted. There is so much talent available that just because someone was drafted or where they was drafted, it doesn't mean that they're either going to be a special player or not. That has to do with what you've talked about, with what Lindsay talked about, with what Carl Mecklenburg talked about tonight. How hard are you willing to work? And how smart are you going to be? That's the difference maker.
Well, how about adding this in there as well? If you look at other teams that went to back, you know, Super Bowls and did not win, you think about Marv Levy and the Buffalo Bills.
Right.
So you look at how many of those players are in the Hall of Fame. So if you can justify that, why not justify the fact of the Broncos players now getting their rightful due and being in Canton? How can you get one team and not do the same for the other?
Hoping it'll change. I hope it changes. It's coming around a little bit. The Hall's getting Broncos in it pretty regularly. Probably going to have a couple next year as well. So the opportunity to bring Steve Atwater and then Peyton Manning should make it next year. Hopefully Carl Mecklenburg's time is coming. It is already overdue.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. People care about 3 things when buying a vehicle. Number one, price. Siltahar Motors has the best prices and financing options that fit everyone's current credit and financial situation. Get 0 down and 0% financing for 72 months. Number two, selection. Siltahar's 5 dealers in 1 offering Ford, Lincoln, Mazda, Volvo, and Maserati with hundreds of new and used cars, trucks, and SUVs on the lot. And number three, location. Siltahar's right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth, or view their entire selection online at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors, get everything you want out of a dealership.